Thank you very much, Nicholas. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the invitation. Before I get down to my topic of the day, just a little brief background of the company that I have the pleasure of running. We're part of the RS Plateau Group, which is one of the leading shipping and offshore brokers in the world, established in 1936. We have offices in 14 countries and 300 or close to 350 employees. And luckily, around 100 of those are my colleagues. We have offices in three places. Our head office is in Oslo. Then we have offices in Singapore and in New York. That presence enables us to cover the markets globally, at least the most important investors market globally. And I'm happy to say that we have managed as lead or joint lead manager transactions, IPOs, private placements, both in Asia, in Europe, and in New York, and obviously Oslo, which is kind of our home market. We're very focused in terms of the sectors that we cover. Given our industrial platform through the RS Plateau Group, we're heavily involved in shipping, offshore oil services, or energy-related companies. That's what we know, and that's basically what we focus on. Then Oslo or Norway. Norway, I don't know, it's kind of maybe like the magic kingdom. When the world, global economy has been struggling, it's nearly embarrassing to say that we basically made our close to largest oil discovery ever last year. So there's basically enough work for a new generation of engineers. And obviously there's a lot of activity in Norway and the Norwegian continental shelf. So that gives a kind of a good backdrop for everybody operating and working within industries related to that. That being said, I had a very nice dinner with some good Greek friends yesterday, and during our discussion, we came to realize that we're quite alike, Greeks and Norwegians, with both love ships and shipping. We both love women, and we both love to have a drink or two now and then. So I think that, three very key parameters of making friends and doing business together should definitely be in place. And I hope and believe that there are prospects for us, to do great things together. I'll start about talking quickly about a part of the market which is now been named the Norwegian high yield, the Norwegian bond market. Norwegian because the venue obviously is in Oslo, but investors are global, and it's a market that is open. It's open. It's just so open that it's basically amazing. So far this year, and this presentation was finished by lunchtime Monday, and it says 40 transactions. We're now up to 18. Actually, no, 19. We just launched another one 15 minutes ago. So basically, we've done 19 transactions so far this year, and bringing the total number of the total capital raised over $2.5 billion. So it's a market that's extremely strong. The last now then deals concluded the last couple of days are three offshore deals and two shipping deals. So the shipping market is becoming increasingly more interesting for investors. A lot of them are investing in a lot of offshore deals, but there is definite interest for shipping paper because they want to diversify their portfolios and look into different assets. And I think that there's definitely more to come. Looking at our own pipeline, that's definitely a truth. Little overview of the market. There are about 175 bonds and convertible bonds outstanding, currently then above $20 billion. And looking at shipping, it's basically the second largest single sector after the rig sector. And if you include oil services, FPSO, offshore, you're basically looking at that three quarters of the Norwegian bond market is basically shipping and offshore related companies. So why is the Norwegian market so strong, and why has it kind of significantly revived? And it basically started second half of last year. I think the answer, we've heard that today. The banks are seeing increasing funding costs, and as Dagfinn Lunde said in his keynote speech during lunch, they're also seeing, you know, increasing and tougher new capital requirements. If you look at the CDSs, they're currently at 200 bips, which is basically the same level as Lehman. So banks' funding costs have increased, and bank financing has increased and is obviously, maybe more importantly, less available. And that's kind of a problem with all the ships that are being delivered. If you couple that with the fact that the average bond market yields are now currently below the six-year average, the margins, the spreads have increased, but they've obviously been at least partly offset by the lower interest rate. So if you look at the proxy cost of an average high yield issue, it's today around 7.5%, which is then below what we've seen lately. So that's a major reason. And also the fact that, as Dagfinn Lunde also said, there is a lot of capital available, and they need to put this funds to work. And obviously 1% interest rate in the bank is not something that you as a fund manager are getting any fat bonuses on. So why should you issue Norwegian bonds? Well, for some, it's a very attractive new funding source. It gives you, let's say, a third leg in addition to traditional bank financing and equity. If you are a frequent issuer, you will see a significant improvement in the actual cost. We've seen frequent issuers that are paying, you know, close to 200 basis points less. So being in that market over time definitely pays off. It's a very fast-track process. It's a very documentation-light process. From you start the process to you get the cash, it takes about 4 to 6 weeks. And there are no rating or no full prospects requirements. Sometimes it makes sense to have an information memorandum, but a lot of in most occasions, it's enough to have a very solid company presentation. So who can issue these bonds? Obviously, I guess that's an important question. When it comes to the senior unsecured, I wish I could be kind of more aggressive, but unfortunately, you know, you need to have good assets in the respect that they is assets you can trade, not kind of tailor-made assets that fit in one area, not in another area. That's very important. And in today's environment, you need to have a contract with a sensible counterparty, obviously. The attractiveness of them is obviously they're non-amortizing, so they bring your cash break-evens down. They're very covenant-light as opposed to bank covenants. And if you look at the Norwegian market alone, you could raise somewhere between 50 and 300. I'm saying 50 because it's difficult, challenging to raise less. It's easier to raise more. So the 50 is maybe more kind of a point of a starting point. When it comes to the senior secured, it's perhaps more the type that we'll be looking at, the commodity-based shipping companies, like tankers and bulkers, where obviously you probably don't have maybe solid counterparties and long-term contracts because then you would be in better shape. You could probably get, or you do get, higher loan-to-values. Again, non-amortizing and same kind of requirements or spreads when it comes to the amounts that you can raise. There's no requirement that the stocks need to be listed in Oslo. We have had several companies that are not listed anywhere, and several companies are listed in other countries. But obviously, it kind of adds transparency, and it will probably give you a better pricing. You need to publish quarterly financials, unaudited, and then yearly audited. Those are basically the key kind of requirements that you have to comply with. Then a few words about the Norwegian equity markets. Again, I would say Norwegian in the sense it's a venue. Investors are definitely global. I think it's a rather unique market. It's focused. It has a strong exchange. Investors are very knowledgeable about the sector. And I think with the increasing volatility that we're seeing in the capital markets today, and that the window, the window of opportunity is becoming shorter and shorter, I think the ability to significantly reduce the lead time to capital is a very competitive advantage that Oslo offers. Again, when it comes to requirements, it's a limited listing process. It's quicker. It's rather inexpensive, and a lot of foreign companies have found Oslo as a venue to attract risk capital interesting, and have obviously today we have 47 foreign companies on the Oslo Stock Exchange. You have full access to most of the Asian and US investors. I think if you look at the transactions that RS Plato Markets were involved in for the last 2 years, we've sourced probably close to 20% of the capital from Asia, and then probably 30% from Europe, and the remaining from US and other sources. So it's a broad investor base, and it basically changed a lot in 2005. I would say that's the year when foreign investors really started looking into the exchange. And as I mentioned, it's more a venue rather than the fact that you can attract investors from all different parts of the world. In addition to that, obviously you have one unique thing, and that is that you have the strong Norwegian pension funds as core investors, and they can only invest in Norwegian companies. So the Norwegian state pension fund, which is obviously today pretty large, is something that for some companies is a very good base, and they're there for the long term, since the maritime sectors are such a big part of our exchange. Yeah, I think I've basically gone through the most important things. For non-Norwegian companies, obviously, you may report in English and in your local currency as well, so pretty flexible with that respect. One thing is, you know, saying and standing here saying about it. I think another thing is that, you know, the proof of the pudding lies in the eating. I think the fact that we've seen, you know, very prominent ship owners and owners of offshore assets deciding to list on Oslo, I think it's for us, you know, very important, and it shows that it's a very attractive place to grow companies. Obviously, John Fredriksen is a frequent user of the capital markets, and he can decide to list wherever he wants in the world, and he's decided to grow most of the companies in Oslo. And the reason, obviously, is, again, that where you operate in a volatile industry, it's better to get the cash when you need them rather than wait for, I don't know, up to maybe 6 months sometimes to get things working. And the amounts that you can raise through Oslo are pretty substantial too. If you look at the far right, Pacific Drilling, which is an Idan Offer-controlled company, you know, we raised 600 million for them. North Atlantic Drilling, again, close to the same amount. And you see quite a lot of both shipping and offshore companies. Obviously, offshore has been a fantastic segment, particularly the first half of last year, so we saw a lot of listings. The second thing you can see is that there are both Asian, American, European, and obviously Norwegian companies on this list, selected list of companies of more than $100 million raised. When it comes to ourselves, we're in the role that we play. Obviously, we're a full-service investment bank, meaning that we're actively trading equities, fixed income, obviously. We're doing corporate finance transactions, both ECM, DCM, and lately we're also participating in restructuring. The latest one, obviously, we're advisor for the bondholders of Seram Marine in their restructuring efforts. We have a very strong placing power. We have significantly delivered in the deals that we've managed and led. I think when it comes to shipping companies, it does play a significant role to have the industry knowledge. We've seen that in transactions that we've done with global banks, large global banks. It has benefited the company through better pricing. I mean, there's quite a significant difference between a chemical tanker company that has evergreen contracts and has a less volatile earnings stream than a dry bulk company, and obviously that requires or should give a more attractive pricing, particularly if you look at, you know, fixed income instruments. Some of the credentials, I'm going to run through them. Research is the backbone of our business. We work extensively together with Plateau Economic Research, with their 13 analysts and our 16 analysts. And then, obviously, on the four key sectors I mentioned, shipping, offshore, oil service, and energy-related businesses. I think that basically, I'm trying to be very efficient there, concludes my presentation.
You are.
I know we're running after schedule, so I urge you, if you have any questions, to just come over to me during the reception. I'm going to have a drink, and then...
No, we have some time, Eric. I don't want to deprive you of the time.
All right.
Actually, I have a question, if you allow me. Now, when I compare the Norwegian capital markets, the equity markets, let's say, with the U.S., where do you get a better valuation? Do you get a better valuation? I was very impressed by the fact that 2010, for example, you got, I think, 10 companies listed, and there were some listed in 2011. So that means that the valuations are not prohibitive.
Absolutely not. I think it's a myth that there are any valuation differences because we're looking at the same investors, and these investors are highly sophisticated. It's not that they decide to pay more whether you're listed there or whether you're listed here. I think, to be very honest, and I should be honest, the key difference between Oslo and New York comes to whether you are a growing company or whether you are, let's say, a more mature company. If you are a more high dividend paying mature company, you have a broader access of investors in the US. Let's call it all the grandmothers with the PCs, and let's call it those type investors. If you're growing your company and it's paramount for you to raise the capital quickly and efficiently and at a, let's call it, competitive cost, I think that Oslo by far gives the same the same benefits. And then since I'm standing up here, I would say, you know, some greater benefits, particularly through the large funds that are in Norway that cannot invest outside Norway. But I think when it comes to pricing, there's no big difference.
And you mentioned that there were 40 companies that listed in Oslo were non...
47. Yeah, non are foreign companies. Last year, we participated in 70 transactions, and RS Plateau, as you know, lead manager, joint lead, raised close to $6 billion. So it's a market that's definitely... because it's just a listing. You know, everybody, we have the World Wide Web, you know, the robots and the orders can be efficiently executed, you know, whether you're sitting in Bahamas or, you know, swimming, in the Greek islands. So the way that we operate, at least how, you know, Oslo's become, it has, for a lot of people, become a hub when it comes to maritime industries, because obviously it's our heritage and we love it. You know, they're volatile assets, they're capital intensive assets, and they're pretty cool. So, Asian investors, we talk to them in the morning, we talk to our European clients and friends in during the day, and to our US investors in the evening, and now obviously we have our office in New York as well, in addition to Singapore. Yes? Yeah, a kind of standard Norwegian cost for actual listing is 200,000 NOX, which would be something around 40,000 US, roughly. Unfortunately for the lawyers here, they don't use a lot of time, so it's significantly less, obviously. Yes.
This side.
Yes.
Kapaitsis, I'm a naval architect. Thank you for. I see that most of your business is with oil rigs. Oil rigs are bigger than shipping. We are delighted that you love the Greeks So being as it is that we have found all these gases around our seas, are we to expect you with a fleet of oil rigs that we Greeks can buy cheap? Thank you.
Yeah, cheap. I don't know. I think that demand is so high that I don't know how cheap it will be. But let's hope that we can be active, you know, here as well. Absolutely. So that's, I guess, it's up to the politicians. But if it be up to me, you know, absolutely. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.